yatrejante kathamrishtas.
So usually what people fight over are little things, but they become so big, or a series of little things. Why? We were discussing this topic of divorce, how much anxiety it causes. Hatred, envy, anger, frustration, misery between the husband and the wife, and suffer more than them are the children. Two people that they've given their hearts to, that they look up to so much, are just torn away from each other. When children see parents fighting, God, does that cause them pain? Parents don't want to cause their children pain, but they can't help it. The winds of Kali are blowing and causing them to rub against each other, and there's friction. What's rubbing? It's the egos, ahankar. Everyone in this material world wants to be the enjoyer. Everyone in this material wants to be a little god. Actually, we want to be the supreme god. But we play like little tiny gods. I am the enjoyer. I am the proprietor. I am the controller. That environment makes our hearts like very, very dry, flammable wood. Huh? And then the winds of Kali caught. Sometimes they're very sweet breezes. Aromatic breezes with so many flower fragrances. But they somehow cause the egos to rub. And then there is fire. It happens within the family. It happens among friends. It's very rare in this age for people even to be able to remain friends for very long. It happens amongst various communities. It's like, I remember back in the 60s, when there was very terrible tension between the black people and the white people, especially in the southern states of America. And one little thing. Somebody could just be crossing the street and somebody, just a white man, accidentally bumps into a black man and knocks him over, or an old lady, and then all of a sudden there's riots. They're burning the cities down. Hare Krishna. It's usually over little things like that. Conflict between religions. This problem between Kashmir and in Kashmir between Pakistan and India. At this very moment, there's over 1 million soldiers lined up on that line of control. And people who actually know politics in the world, they really fear this. Politicians, general people, they don't know so much about the nature of this conflict. They both have their nuclear bombs aimed at each other. They have their armies facing each other, snarling at each other, staring at each other. Not with sidelong glances. They're really looking at each other with it. And they're just so fearful that any little thing could happen that could ignite an entire war, which could be a world war. One little thing. Small thing could ignite that. This is the nature of the world we live in. And if you study World War I, World War II, actually, it was just a series of little things. People getting insulted, people not liking certain people, and it becomes a world war where millions of people are died, billions of dollars of damage. This is the age of Kali. It's the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. It's the environment. It's like during the summer season, you expect it's going to be hot. During the winter season, especially up here at New Vrindavan, you know it's going to snow. So Kali Yuga is the season of envy, conflict, quarrel, and hypocrisy. You don't have to do anything. It's going to happen automatically. But you can protect yourself from it. Just like if you know the heat is coming, you can arrange a nice fan or air conditioner. If you know the snow is going to come, you could either chop your wood in advance and make sure you're going to be, or have some nice electrical or gas furnace. If you know the rainy seasons are going to come, you get the proper clothes and you fix your roof. But you know it's going to come. So Kali Yuga, it is predicted. 12th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedavyas, who Shaktivesh Avatar, describes the symptoms of what is to come in the age of Kali. When Srila Prabhupada was here at New Vrindavan in 1976, he was staying in the house where Sankirtan Prabhu and Ruchi Mataji are living now. And every evening he would come out on his garden and give his darshan. They would read from Bhagavad Gita, he would give a Bhagavad Gita class, and then there would be questions and answers for sometimes several hours, every night, for 14 days. It was truly wonderful. But one day it was very cold, and it was very rainy, and Prabhupada was actually very sick. So people came to the house, and his assistants told the devotees who came that Srila Prabhupada is ill, he is not going to be giving his darshan tonight. So everyone felt very bad that Prabhupada was very ill, and also very, very sad that they couldn't get his association. So downcasted faces, they were walking away, and somehow Prabhupada saw them through the window, and he told, call them back. So everyone came, we went inside his living room, and he asked Prajumana to read from Srimad Bhagavatam. He was reading the symptoms of the age of Kali, Hare Krishna, 12th canto. And Prabhupada was sitting with his head in his hands. And then as Prajumana was explaining what's going to happen in Kali, Prabhupada just became like a lion. He just came up and started preaching. This is because of his compassion. He sees how Kali is just enveloping the whole planet in darkness. And out of his compassion, he's teaching us how to protect ourselves, how to free ourselves from this. Things that are so important in life are taken so superficially. And things that are superficial in life are taken so seriously. That is the age of Kali. A person is considered successful by how much money they have, by how much physical beauty they have, by how much mundane knowledge they have. All these things are superficial. They have very, very relative and insignificant importance in life. What is a person's morality? What is a person's spirituality? These things are not important. In fact, in today's world, morality is considered a disqualification. If you go to the schools, the young children, they're considered queer. They're considered socially misfits if they believe in morality. Take drugs, drink alcohol, have girlfriends and boyfriends, swear, cuss words. This is cool. Yes? How many of you have children who have been subjected to these things here? and to actually be polite and kind and self-controlled and no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. In one lecture in Los Angeles in 1974, Prabhupada was explaining how demoniac this civilization is becoming. He ended his lecture by saying, when Krishna consciousness becomes prevalent within this world, there will be no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meeting, so many no's, and the demons, they will die. They cannot live without these things. One of the most highly respected ethical people of London, Lord Jetland, he was Marquis. He was a very, very high person in society, very respected. At one time, I believe he was the governor of Bengal during the British rule. So one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers was in England. And this personality, this gentleman, he said to our Guru Maharaj's godbrother, "Can you make me a Brahmin?" And he said, "Yes, you just follow four principles. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating." He was astonished. His reply was, "Impossible. How will I live?" Yeah, when young people become devotees, what to speak of the general public, even family members? You don't have girlfriend? You don't have boyfriend? What is this? What is your life? And you tell your parents you're not eating meat, they think you're going to die due to protein deficiency. They really worry. And no intoxications, not even a social drink? How will you make friends? Hare Krishna. How many of you Americans' parents had these ideas when you became a devotee? It's very difficult. It's the age of Kali. Where superficial things become so relevant. Where envy, quarrel, hatred, conflict is just blowing in the wind. And we find that just because you shave your head or put on a dhoti or a sari or wore tilak, even if you put on the kanti mala, neck beads, it doesn't mean you're going to be immune from the symptoms of Kali. Kali is everywhere. The influence is all-pervading. The fact is, within every atomic particle, there is the influence of Kali to provoke envy, conflict, greed, pride, lust, anger. Everywhere, it's the age of Kali. From the grossest to the subtlest elements, they are all permeating Kali's mission. And Kali has a mission. Hare Krishna. So we find, even in the association of devotees, turmoil can break out. And we see that it has broken out. Every religion of the world. In the Islamic religion, sects of Muslims have been murdering, terrorizing, and killing each other because they just have a different sect. In Christianity, someone was telling me that even in interfaith, the two hardest people for interfaith to take place is the Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church, because at one time they were the same. To this day, thousands of years after they broke up, they still have so much animosity in the name of their Savior, and how many Protestant denominations? Protestant means Protestant. They're protesting. There's thousands of them. And hardly any two agree with each other. Hare Krishna. So much conflict. The age of Kali. And don't think that Hinduism is so much better. Practically every Hindu has their own religion. And everybody thinks, oh, you are right, I'm all right, everything's all right. But then, you know, what's happening? So much conflict. So much corruption. So much confusion. So many sects. The Shivites and the Vaishnavas. It's like Lord Nityananda Prabhu, when he was doing his South Indian tour, he went to Kanchipuram. And in Kanchipuram, there's two sections. There's Shiva Kanchi and Vishnu Kanchi. One is a beautiful Shiva temple, and one is a very beautiful Vishnu temple, Bhadrad Raj. So Nityananda came and he saw that the Shivites and the Vaishnavas were fighting like dogs and cats. Haribo. And he just looked at it. Shiva is the greatest devotee of Vishnu. He's a plenary expansion of Vishnu. And their followers are fighting and arguing. So what did he do? He just saw them. Pitiful. He just laughed and went away. Hare Krishna. Kali Yuga. In Sri Lanka, the Buddhists and the Hindus are fighting. In Punjab, Sikhs and Hindus. There was big fights some years ago. Kashmir, Muslims and Hindus. Iraq, Iran, Muslims and Muslims. Ireland, Catholics and Protestants. Israel, Jews and Muslims. Of course, all over the place, Jews and Christians. So much fighting. Why? It's the age of Kali. No matter what you do, that impulse, that tendency will be provoked. And we see amongst devotees. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He created the most powerful preaching mission, Gaudiya Math. But after he left, there was conflict. Over what? Over some buildings, some position. Those who were united to spread the mission of pure love of God to the whole world ended up spending their resources fighting each other in courts. And splintering up into so many little missions. Many great souls. Prabhupada wept tears of sorrow to see how the whole world was suffering, how the whole world was being deprived of pure, unalloyed devotional service because we can't get along with each other. When Srila Prabhupada was about to leave this world, he gave a very, very difficult instruction to follow. He said, you can show your love for me by how you cooperate with each other to push on this mission. It sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Show your love for me by how you cooperate. The fact is, we show our love for Krishna to the degree we show our love for our spiritual master. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado. Krishna accepts our love through the guru. So how do we show our love for Guru? That's how we show love for Krishna, and Krishna reciprocates accordingly. By cooperating. When we heard that, we were thinking, oh, it's easy enough. It's not so easy. Not in the age of Kali. In the age of Kali, to cooperate means you have to go against the entire current of material energy. Material energy in this age of Kali is like a current, like it's like a river flowing from Himalayas and going right down to the ocean of birth, death, and illusion, suffering, bondage. Everything in this world is just flowing toward that ocean of bondage and death. And you have to swim upstream. It's not easy swimming upstream. In fact, if you stop for a second, you're swept downstream. You have to be constantly struggling. You can show your love for me by how you cooperate. And we can see, even within the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, pure, highest philosophy, pure, highest culture, based on the highest principles of ecstatic love and devotion. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given this Sankirtan movement, and it was spreading like wildfire. Here in America, at one time, so many centers, hundreds of people in each center. So much expansion, so much enthusiasm, so much dedication. Inattentiveness to understand the power of Kali and what we have to do to prevent that influence from coming into our lives. We become some immoralities, some false ego. It just feeds the fire of Kali. And so many problems. Now, some of you may know, there are law cases in the courts. There are different camps. Why? So it is very relevant to all of us that we understand what is the essence of how to please Krishna. We are reading the story of Prachetas. They were 10 brothers, sons of Prachini Barhishat, who was king. King Prachini Barhishat, being a noble person, understood that the purpose of life is self-realization. If Krishna is not satisfied, then we're failure. Atapumbird vijastreshtas varna shrama vibhagasha shvanushtatas yadharmasya samsadir haritoshana. Whatever your occupational duty, whatever your ashram or your social position in life is, if you don't please Krishna, you're a failure. Shrami evahi kevalam. Whatever you do in life, if it does not invoke an attraction to hear about Krishna, it's simply a waste of time. This is what the scriptures say. So the king sent his sons, if you want to rule the world, inheriting my kingdom, then it is very important that you perform tapasya and please Krishna. So they met Lord Shiva by their great desire. Lord Shiva so mercifully gave them a mantra by which they could see, by which they could please Lord Vishnu. They went under the water for a long time, chanting this mantra given by Shiva. And then Vishnu appeared on his beautiful Garuda carrier. And the first thing Vishnu said is, I am pleased with you because of your friendly relationships with each other, with the intention of pleasing me and serving me. So if we want to please the Lord, he likes to see his devotees having loving relationships. The spiritual master likes to see that. Just like a father and mother, they don't like to see their children becoming enemies and fighting. I've never been a father or a mother, at least in this life. So I have theoretical understanding, but I'm sure many of you who are mothers and fathers will agree with me. Isn't it a great fulfillment to your heart when you see that your children are growing up and they actually have loving, friendly, united relationships with each other? They support each other, they help each other. You don't like to see your children fighting and trying to avenge each other and going to the courts to try to take away, try to fight over your property. Hare Krishna. This is a fear of parents when they leave. What will happen? So many times there are these inheritance conflicts in the courts, trying to grab the father's money. But actually, the father lived and made all this money just so you'll be happy together, and you're fighting over it. It's a nightmare for the parents. Aham bija pratapita. Krishna's the seed-giving father of all living beings. And his devotees are his special, most intimate children. Everyone is his children, but the devotees are the children who are most dear to his heart because they're living in harmony with his desire. So he told Prachetas, I am very pleased with you and I will give you any benediction. Why? Because of your friendly, loving relationships with each other in my service. The Prachetas are here in today's verse and yesterday's verse explaining how we can always remain united, how we can actually create loving relationships that are immune from the anxieties, fears, and envy of Kali. How many of you would like to know the secret? The pages of Srimad Bhagavatam disclose this. Even a moment's association with a pure devotee cannot be compared to being transferred to heavenly planets or even merging into Brahman effulgence in complete liberation. For living entities who are destined to give up the body and die, association with pure devotees is the highest benediction. Today's verse. Yatredyantikatamrishtastrishnayaprishamojata nirvairam yatrabhuteshu nodvigo yatrakashtana. Whenever pure topics of the transcendental world are discussed, the members of the audience forget all kinds of material hankerings, at least for the time being. Not only that, but they are no longer envious of one another, nor do they suffer from anxiety or fear. Srila Prabhupada explains here that the spiritual world is Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha means a place where there is no anxiety. This material world that we are living is Kunta, a place that is full of anxieties. How to create the atmosphere of Vaikuntha? It is explained here. By discussing the topics of Krishna amongst each other. Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, 9th verse. Machchata madgata purana bodhyanta parasparam katyantaschamam nityam tushyanti charamanticha. The thoughts of my pure devotees always dwell in me. Their lives are devoted to serving me. And those devotees, they derive great satisfaction and bliss coming together, conversing about me, discussing me, and chanting my names. This is what association devotees means. Satsang doesn't mean putting on a sari, a dhoti, and watching a movie. Doesn't matter what you're wearing. Satsang means coming together to discuss Krishna, to chant the names of Krishna, to inspire and enliven one another in Krishna. That's where real pleasure is to be found. Tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti mad bhakta. Krishna tells
That you will not find me in Vaikuntha, you will not find me in the hearts of the yogis, you will find me wherever my devotees come together to take pleasure, to chat my names and discuss my pastimes, my forms, my qualities, and my glories. That's where I am always residing.
Hari Bol. Very nice.
Yoga. Yoga means to unite.
Bhakti yoga means to unite the soul with God, to unite other souls with each other in the service of God. How?
Sravanam kirtanam Vishnu.
By hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Yesterday I was talking to Mangalananda Prabhu. We went up to see our dear God brother and God sister, Yadunandan Prabhu and Taruni Devi Mataji. They met Prabhupada in 1966 in 26 Second Avenue together. And in 1969, when Prabhupada was living here at New Vrindavan, there was only about a dozen people staying here with Prabhupada, and they were two amongst them. So Mangalananda Prabhu was telling me, in 1971, he came and lived up at that old Vrindavan. And Yadunandan Prabhu was engaging him in service. And Mangalananda remembers this. This is... God, 31 years later, he still remembers. He said, one day I told him that the sun is very hot today. And Yadunandan Prabhu said, Krishna says that the sun and the moon are my eyes. He said, everything I said, he would just tell me about, he would just connect it to Krishna. Hari Bol. To this day, he hasn't forgotten it. It's nourished his heart. This is Krishna consciousness, to share our love for Krishna together. Krishna consciousness, the unity of devotees is when we humble ourselves, not to how great I am, how good I am, what I have done, but to share what Krishna has done. You may have preached in a class in a college and a few people said, oh, very nice, but Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. Hare Krishna. And we're still listening to his class 5,000 years later. That's Krishna. What has Krishna done? He lifted Giriraj, Govardhan Hill, 7 days, 7 nights with the little finger of his left hand. The greatest asuras, Agasura, Putana. Putana was a Rakshashi witch, 8 miles long. No, 12 miles long. 12 miles. Such a big witch. And Krishna effortlessly killed her with a smile on his face when he was only a couple days old. He was an infant. He didn't even manifest that he could even see or talk or crawl at that time. That's Krishna. And he sent her back to the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, to be her mother, his mother. Which one of us can do that? So if we want to find pleasure in glorifying our own activities or activities of someone in this material concept of life, then it's temporary and limited. But the soul is longing for unlimited eternal pleasure. So there's only one way to find it, to find pleasure in Krishna's activities, Krishna's names, Krishna's forms, Krishna's qualities. Krishna's all attractive. He's the reservoir of all pleasure. He's Rasa Vihari. He enjoys unlimited, intimate, loving exchanges with his devotees. So real love is to share Krishna with each other. Devotees give that's sharing Krishna. Give the gift of Krishna consciousness. Reveal each other's minds to help each other, enliven each other, to come closer to Krishna. This is actual friendship. Srila Prabhupada explains that a friend in need is a friend indeed. And when will you be most in need? At the time of death. When everything is about to be ripped away from you and death could come at any moment in this age.
Who could help you at the time of death? Only Krishna. Therefore, he's the only true friend. And in this world, who is our real friend? That person who connects us to Krishna. That is real friendship. That is real love. Guru na sasyat, swajini na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat. The Lord explains in Bhagavat that the real duty of a mother and a father is to make sure your child never has to take birth again in this material world. That is love. The love of a mother and father is simply superficial and illusory when we think it's by food, by clothes, by shelter, by education, because factually, the animals are giving their children that. The mother bird teaches the child how to do its occupation, as does the father. The father goes out and gets the food and brings it home, has a nice nest built. The mother's taking care of the kids while he's out collecting food. Haribo. They're given, they automatically have nice clothes. So just supplying these things, the animals are doing. That is a responsibility. It cannot be neglected. But real love is to give something to the soul. Your children are not their bodies. They are the eternal soul. You have a duty to protect their bodies so that their bodies can be used as a vehicle for the highest purpose of life. To nourish the soul by giving them Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj became liberated just because his mother was willing to hear Narada Muni speak Harikatha when he was in her womb. Amongst friends, amongst family members, to somehow or other to give them Krishna, to share Krishna, to enliven and encourage in Krishna consciousness, that is the greatest love. That is compassion. And it should be done in a very human, gentle, and compassionate way. It's not if somebody's sick, you kick them in the face and say, you're lazy, you fool, you're not this body, just chant Hare Krishna and tell them a pastime of Krishna. That's not what we're talking about. But sometimes that's the way it is interpreted. Quite often, actually. In the name of Harikatha, we're cruel to people. Somebody's mind is reeling in anxiety and frustration. Just chant Hare Krishna, you're in Maya. Might be true, but it doesn't help the person much. But loving relationships, caring relationships, based on humility, based on service, based on service to one another. Service to the mind, service to the body, service to the soul. This is service. But the very central the central purpose of that service is machchitamatgatamata. Bodhyanta parasparam. To share Krishna with each other. To enliven and encourage each other. To love Krishna. To remember Krishna. All the rules and all the regulations of all the scriptures are the servants of the two most important of all regulations. To always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. That is the purpose of life. Srila Prabhupada explains in one beautiful lecture how every day the sun rises and sets, we're one day closer to death. And during that time, whenever we speak, speaking has such a powerful effect in this world. The influence in the whole human history is based on speaking. Authors speak through their pens. In the cinemas, in the musical world, people are speaking. The politicians are speaking. The philosophers are speaking. It's influencing people's lives. Everything you speak is having a significant effect on the universe. Srila Prabhupada explains, when we speak prajalpa, unnecessary materialistic talk, every syllable that's coming out of prajalpa is literally, not figuratively, literally draining our human life from us. Just bringing us to cruel death. Hare Krishna. She's taking this very seriously. But yet how reckless we are with what we say. Raghunath Das Goswami describes that prajalpa, mundane gossip, is like a prostitute that's stealing away the propensity to serve Krishna. Our real life is our bhakti, our love, our devotion. That is our only real wealth. The wealth of love that you accumulate in your heart is eternal and can never be taken away from you. It lives with the soul. Beyond death, beyond birth, that is wealth. That can bring you happiness. That is prosperity. Bhakti, devotion, love, realization. But every time we gossip, every time we speak unnecessary talk, what is happening? We're just draining that propensity for loving Krishna from our heart so carelessly. Krishna conscious means to be conscious of Krishna. And how to be conscious of Krishna? That is described in this wonderful, wonderful. What we speak influences people. What we speak influences so deeply our own consciousness. So real love, real friendship is to share real wealth by reminding each other of our relationship with Krishna, by praising Krishna, glorifying Krishna, coming together to chant his holy names. And because Krishna is not different than his names, Krishna is not different than his pastimes, Krishna is not different than his teachings, wherever the devotees are coming together in a congenial and friendly spirit, in a mood of servant of the servant of the servant, to speak and chant about Krishna, that place becomes Vaikuntha. It is not the material world. As long as Krishna is the center of our life through this process, there is no envy amongst us. That is what is described here in Srimad Bhagavatam. But as soon as the center of the topic of our relationship changes away from Krishna, then potentially there can be envy and conflict amongst any of us. And that's the business of the false ego, the agent of Maya, illusion, to somehow or other divert our attention away from Krishna. To put our own personal considerations as the center of our purpose in life rather than Krishna. And as soon as that happens, envy, quarrel, hypocrisy, immorality, conflict. And everyone suffers. Harinama, harinam, harinam, eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, 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 gatiranyata. In this age of Kali Yuga, there's only one remedy. The chanting of the names and glories of the Lord. This is the power. And we find amongst the great acharyas who teach by their example, this is their life. When Srila Prabhupada came amongst us, devotees were so astonished
because he was just totally absorbed in Krishna. He just wanted to give everyone Krishna. That was his only motive, his only ambition. He lived only to give us Krishna. Even when he reduced his weight to practically nothing, he was emaciated. He was in old age. He was on the verge of death by material standards, his body. He told the devotees, bring me to London, Hare Krishna. And then he planned to go to Gita Nagari. Right? You were probably waiting for him then, 1977. Doctor said, this is impossible. You can't do this. Prabhupada said, better to die in the battlefield, giving Krishna to others. He sacrificed his life, his everything, just to give Krishna. There wasn't a word that came out of his mouth that didn't enliven us in Krishna consciousness. Even when he talked about just common matters of this world, it was so intricately connected to Krishna that it just made our love for Krishna grow. Even if he talked about the weather, because it was always in relationship to Krishna. Constantly praising Krishna. Constantly trying to give Krishna, share Krishna. He loved Krishna. And he wanted us to love Krishna. Therefore, he was our supreme well-wishing friend. He would sign his letters, your ever-well-wisher. Why was he our ever-well-wisher? Because he had only one motive, one purpose in his life, to give us Krishna. To give us the real, true, eternal wealth of devotion. Amongst the Lord Chaitanya and his associates, that's all they did. Some of them were grihastas, they may have had their occupations, they may have had their families. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had 10 children. Hare Krishna, how many of you have 10 children? It's hard enough raising one or two or three children. 10 children. And he and his wife, Bhagavati Devi Mataji, they raised their children so wonderful. All their children were satisfied. They got so much love and attention and affection from their parents, but everything was centered around giving them Krishna. She would make wonderful prasad for them. They would have kirtans. They would worship the deities. They would have festivals for the deities. Everything was centered around Krishna. He would get up at midnight and chant for hours. Then he would write books about Krishna, write songs about Krishna, go out and preach about Krishna. He would go to work. He was a magistrate in the British courts. As soon as he'd come back, he'd take some prasad, talk about Krishna with his family, go out and preach to the villagers about Krishna, have Harinam Sankirtan about Krishna, worship the deity of Krishna. He was constantly immersed in Krishna. And all of his children, one of his children was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Whole life was simply giving what his father gave him to the world, Krishna. That is love. That is compassion. Lord Chaitanya and their associates, that's all they did is talk about Krishna, chant Hare Krishna, and serve Krishna. As far as their relationships with each other. Lord Chaitanya went to Pandrapur in Maharashtra. There he met Sri Rangapuri. What did they do when they were together? For 5 to 7 days, day and night, they just discussed Krishna, Hare Krishna, and chanted the holy names of Krishna. Such deep, loving relationship with each other. An example from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. How unity and love can come between even inimical people. when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling to Vrindavan, he was going to from Jagannath Puri, he went through Jharikhanda forest. While he was in the forest, he happened to see a tiger sleeping on the road. What is that saying? Let a sleeping tiger sleep. Have you heard that before? Anyways, Lord Chaitanya, he didn't believe in that. He saw the sleeping tiger and just kicked the tiger in the head with his foot and told him to chant Hare Krishna. And the tiger, he roared, Hare Krishna. Just started roaring Hare Krishna at the top of his voice, dancing with his arms up in ecstasy, with tears flowing from his eyes, and all of his hairs were standing on end, his limbs were trembling. He attained love of God. The Lord walked on. He saw a nice pond. He was taking his bath, chanting his Gayatri mantra. Then a herd of wild elephants. Oh, now, you've seen elephants in zoos or circuses, and they're kind of like, but wild elephants, they are the most dangerous of all animals. Lion, tiger, panther, leopard, they can kill a couple people. They don't care to kill too many more than that. But wild elephants, especially when they come in packs, they can destroy entire villages and towns. In Himalayas, when I was living in those jungles, I would come to villages and their greatest fear was the wild elephants. So a pack of wild elephants came to drink the water from that pond. And Lord Chaitanya was silently chanting Gayatri. So it was kind of safe. He was silent. But as soon as he finished his Gayatri mantra, he just started splashing water right at the elephants, on their bodies, in their eyes, and started shouting upon them, chant Hare Krishna! What do you think the elephants did? They started roaring the names of Krishna, all of them together in harmony. Then some of them were raising their big hands up, and they were dancing on their rear legs. Some of them were in such ecstasy, they were rolling in the ground with tears pouring from their eyes. Hare Krishna. Now I'm going to come to the subject of today's class. Lord Chaitanya was traveling through the path of the Jharikhanda forest. And some deers, very beautiful lotus-eyed deers, began to follow him. And they were so, because he was chanting the holy names, they were so affectionate. They started licking his body, and he was petting them, the deers and the does and the bucks. And then he walked on, and they were following him, just gazing at his beautiful golden form. Then some tigers, 5 or 7 tigers, happened to see him, and they were following, walking alongside with the deers. This was completely against material laws of nature. The worst enemies in the forest are the tigers and the deers. Shall I tell why? Because the favorite food for tiger is deer. Hare Krishna. There's no vegetarian tigers. It is their natural food to eat deer. Instinctively, when they see a deer, their mouth waters and they can just taste the blood. Hare Krishna. They become just unbearably passionate to eat that flesh. And they somehow or other creep up on that deer and devour it. So, obviously, the deers are not very friendly toward tigers. The deer's relationship with a tiger in the forest is 24 hours a day in hatred and fear and anxiety. They're just looking around, making sure the tiger doesn't get them. Now, a deer is helpless before a tiger. Tiger is king of the jungle. But Srila Prabhupada tells a story how material nature makes everybody frustrated. Prabhupada explained there's a little tiny bird about this big. I don't remember the name of the bird. But that bird, the tiger, he can eat that bird in half of a gulp. Nothing. He could breathe that bird in, and the bird is finished. That's the significance of the bird to a Bengali tiger. But this little tiny bird, because he can fly, the tiger just can't catch him no matter what he does. He just can't catch that little bird. And the bird is so irritating that he just flies right wherever the tiger is going and just sings a little song. The tiger is coming, the tiger is coming. And all the animals run away and the tiger can't find any food because he warns all the deers in advance. So although the tiger is so strong and so powerful, the king, so much anxiety because of one puny little insignificant rascal bird. There's nothing he can do about it. Hare Krishna. So that's another philosophical conception. That however big and great we are, material nature will frustrate you. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what you can do, material nature will frustrate you. Either with a nuclear bomb or a little bird or a little germ in your body. Hare Krishna. Really, we have seen big, big, powerful, muscular people, and a little mosquito bites them and they get malaria and they're technical knockout. They're just on the ground, they can't get up. Not the count of 10, the count of 10 days, 10 weeks sometimes they can't get up. And what are the muscles on a mosquito? Do you ever see the arms of a mosquito? Totally, it's ludicrous. It's embarrassing, actually. It's humiliating. This person's working out, big, big athlete, gigantic body, and his little skinny mosquito just wipes him out. There's nothing he can do. Haribo. That's material nature. So on this particular day, the tigers who hate deers, they hate deers in a sense, they want to kill them and eat them, and the deers who hate tigers out of fear and anxiety, they're walking next to each other. Never, never to be seen in history. And Lord Chaitanya, they were just following Lord Chaitanya, who was dancing through the paths. And Lord Chaitanya looked and saw them, and he smiled. He recited, with tears of love in his heart, he recited a beautiful verse from 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by Lord Brahma. It's at the time of Lord Brahma, when he came to steal the calves, the cows, and the calves and the cowherd boys. That verse explains that how wonderful is Vrindavan. Vrindavan is such a sacred, wonderful place. That due to the environment of love and devotion in the presence of Krishna, everyone is united. Even humans and inimical animals have love and concern for each other. Then Lord Chaitanya looked at those deers and tigers and mercifully instructed them to chant Hare Krishna. The deers started dancing in ecstasy, chanting. Then the tiger started dancing in ecstasy and chanting. This was such a kirtan. Can you imagine this kirtan? Lord Chaitanya in the middle, chanting and dancing, surrounded by deers and tigers, chanting and dancing. Tears flowing from their eyes, their hair standing on end, their limbs trembling, roaring out the holy names. There was such a loving environment that each tiger and deer lovingly, affectionately embraced one another, were dancing together, embracing and kissing. Hare Krishna. This is according to the Shastras. They were kissing each other in embrace, the tigers and deers, in love. They were like family members. How is it possible? Because their relationship was centered around Krishna. The common unifying factor in all of creation is Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explained, people talk about universal brotherhood, but you can't understand, unless you put your father and mother as the center of your life, there's no question of real brotherhood. Krishna and Radharani are our mother and father. When they are the center, we are brothers. And how do we put them in the center? By coming together in a humble mood of servant of the servant of the servant and chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, and discussing about Krishna. Why do you think Vedavyas gave us so many literatures and the Acharyas wrote so many books to give us something to talk about? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. There was one newspaper he put out. Daily publication. What was it? Nadia Prakash. Daily publication describing Krishna's glories. And somebody asked him, what is this daily? How can you come up with enough material to make a newspaper every day about Krishna? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he replied, how many newspapers are in there in this world? In every city, in every country, there's at least 1 to 3 newspapers every day talking about the mundane information that's happening in the world here. The spiritual world has unlimitedly more people than the material world. This is one little tiny city and one little tiny planet in one little tiny universe in the universal creation, which is hardly 1/4 of Krishna's creation. In the spiritual world, Krishna is performing unlimited pastimes. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he explains that Ganapati, Ganesh, he wrote the whole Mahabharata on the dictation of Vedavyas. He's really a good writer. If he were to write for the entire span of creation, he could not describe properly what Lord Chaitanya, the pastimes he performed in one day. Hare Krishna. Krishna's unlimited. He has unlimited pastimes. He has unlimited glories. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we could have billions of newspapers coming out at every minute and not even touch the surface of what Krishna's news is. So Srila Prabhupada, he laboriously, all night long, he stayed up writing his books to give us something to read about, to hear about, to think about, to talk about. There's volumes of books with information. Krishna books, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita. So much to talk about. And we're talking about how this devotee, performed an immoral activity 7.5 years ago. Did you hear the news? Haribo, who cares? What you associate with is become you like.
If you associate with the faults of others, you get those faults. By talking about the faults of others, you become victimized by those faults yourself. If you talk about the good qualities of others, you become enriched with good qualities. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if you blaspheme the Lord and his devotees, it's like drinking poison. The only antidote for that poison is using that same mouth to glorify Krishna and his devotees. There's so much information. Let's read about it. Let's hear about it. Let's talk about it. Let's enrich each other. Yes, you have your occupations, you have your practical services, but when we come together, let's talk about these things. Let's remember these things throughout the day. Krishna came to this world and perform his leela. Ram came to this world to perform his leela. So many avatars have come. Why? To give us something to talk about that will enrich us, purify us, enlighten us. We don't have time for gossip. We don't have time for nonsense. There's too many important subjects. And any one of Krishna's pastimes can be described for the rest of our lives millions of times, and it gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. That's the nature of transcendental subject matter. Haridas Thakur chanted 300,000 names of Krishna every single day before eating. That's 192 rounds. He did that from his childhood until he was an old man and he was in ecstasy. He didn't approach Lord Chaitanya and said, I want a new mantra. I'm tired of this old one. Not like that. He was tasting Krishna with every syllable. Unlimited bliss. In this material world, there are songs. And they might be number one on the top 40 charts. Do they still have top 40s these days? I don't know. But they might be the number one song. But how long do they last as number one? Few weeks, at the most a month or two. And then people get tired of listening to it. Something else, something new. But this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, this has been number one for the past, it's number one in the spiritual world eternally. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sang it, and it's still the number one song amongst devotees. Every morning we sing it, every evening we sing it, we chant it privately, we chant it publicly. The taste of the holy name is unlimited. If we chant with the proper mood, Trinadapi Sunichena Taror Ivasihishnana Amanina Manadeda Kirtaniya Sadhari, then we can always chant the names if we are humble like the grass, tolerant like tree, eager to offer all respects to others and expect none in return. When we come together to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, the spiritual world descends. There is no fear. There is no envy. There is no anxiety. We must establish and protect that environment amongst us, because as soon as any other subject, as soon as anything else comes between us, Kali Yuga comes with it. We may not understand the effects immediately, but the disease is there. We have diseases today like this hepatitis and AIDS and cancer. You contract this virus, it's not that the next day you're dead. You don't even know you have it for sometimes 5, 6, 10, 12 years. You're just walking around thinking, I'm healthy, everything is good, but it's there. That's the way Maya works. We don't know, but when we speak, when we act according to our false ego rather than according to our natural spiritual propensities, then the influence goes into our hearts and it will have in its effect. It may happen today, it may happen in years to come. Why? Vrindavan is a place where everyone's simply talking about Krishna. When Krishna would go out in the morning to herd cows or calves, depending on his age, in Nandagaon, he was where Gopastami was the first day he was given charge of cows. So the gopas who were Krishna's sakyas, his friends, they were just looking at Krishna. They would have prasad with Krishna on bank of Jamuna. Everyone was simply remembering Krishna, trying to please Krishna. Krishna would take prasad with them. They would sit in circles around him. He would be in the middle with Balaramji. And there would be the intimate 8 sakas would be in a circle around him, and then there would be 16 around them, then 32 around them, then 64 around them. There were millions of cowherd boys at a time, all in these circles around Krishna, like a whirl of a lotus with so many, many, many petals coming out. And everyone would just be looking at Krishna. And every single cowherd boy, millions of them, they were all thinking Krishna's looking only at me. Now, if you look at someone and somebody can become envious, why he's not looking at me? But Krishna, he is unlimited. He could look at everybody simultaneously, and everyone was thinking, he's only looking at me. They didn't know that he's looking at everybody. He only has one little head and 2 little eyes. But yet, those 2 beautiful lotus-like eyes, everyone was thinking, Krishna's only looking at me. Then they would play games. I will be first to touch Krishna. No, 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 I will be first to touch Krishna. No, 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 I will be first to touch Krishna. And they'd all be running to Krishna. And Krishna was so incredibly that everyone would touch Krishna. Everyone thought that they were the first to touch Krishna. Haribo. He would satisfy everyone's desires. And meanwhile, back in the village of Nandagaon, the gopis, they were not out there in the pastures with Krishna in the day very often. And Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai, and the elderly, they would just be singing the glories of Krishna all day long. They couldn't live without it. Prabhupada said, a pure devotee has to be thinking and talking and hearing about Krishna at all times, like a fish needs to be in water. To forget Krishna for a moment is like a fish out of water for a real devotee. So every evening, the gopas would come back and they would just be telling everyone what Krishna did that day with Balaram and the gopas. Hare Krishna. Today he killed this Bakasura. Today, you know what Krishna did? We all went to the bank of the Jamuna to give our calves water. Hare Krishna. And as they were drinking water, we also started drinking water. Then we saw some distance away, there was this structure. It looked like a mountain, but it was moving. Then all of a sudden, boom, it just jumped on us. He was a gigantic bird. His name was Baka. Crane. Some say duck, but it was crane. And he attacked us. And he jumped right up, mountainous bird, and he ate Krishna. All the Brijabasis are in rapt attention hearing this story. He ate Krishna with his large, sharp beak and swallowed Krishna into his neck. And we were all crying, alas, alas, our life, our soul, our everything is gone. Even the demigods in the heavens were having nervous breakdowns, thinking, what will happen? Krishna's dead. But then you know what Krishna did? He made a little effulgence come out of his body, and it made his body so hot in the neck of Bakasura. He couldn't tolerate it. Couldn't tolerate Krishna. He vomited, and Krishna came out. Haribo. Then he wanted to kill Krishna with his pointed beak, pointing at Krishna, trying to stab Krishna to death. Krishna was dexterously dancing around and he couldn't touch him. Then Krishna saw that we were in anxiety.
So he effortlessly took the bottom part of his beak and pushed it down and stuck his lotus foot on the bottom part of this mountainous bird. And then he took his hands and ripped the top part of his beak and bifurcated him. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki! So this is what they would talk about. And everyone would be listening. Ah. And they would talk about the sweet, beautiful games they would play. And the next at night, of course, gopis, they would go out and meet Krishna. They would dance with Krishna, and each gopi is thinking Krishna was me. And ultimately, every gopi simply wants to see Krishna enjoying Sri Radha, absorbed in Krishna. And when Krishna would be out playing with the cows and the boys during the day, the Brijabasis, whatever they were doing, Mukunda Madhava Hari, they were constantly chanting the holy names of Krishna. Constantly chant. Whatever they heard the day before from the gopas, they would put those wonderful, wonderful stories in song and poetry and sing them all day. Yashoda Mai, she'd be churning butter, singing Krishna's pastimes. All the gopis, whether they were milking the cows or whether they were cooking or whether they were cleaning, they were constantly singing Krishna's pastimes, day by day. This is Krishna consciousness. And what do you think they discussed when they came together? Krishna. That was the only subject that was worthwhile. Krishna. And in this material world, the only subject worthwhile is to discuss those things that are favorable to help us become Krishna conscious. We may talk about Varnashram Dharma. We may talk about building schools for our children. We may talk about sanitary systems. Here at New Vrindavan, you have to talk about these things. We have to talk about cleaning and cooking and construction. Taking care of cows, so many subjects, but it's all to facilitate an environment wherein we can come together to talk about Krishna, to discuss the pastimes of Krishna, the form of Krishna, to discuss service to Krishna, and ultimately to come together before the beautiful forms of Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra and to chant their holy names. This is Vrindavan. And Prabhupada said, New Vrindavan should be not different than Vrindavan. He writes this in a purport, that New Vrindavan in West Virginia is not different than Goloka Vrindavan. That potential is there. But we have to live by this principle. And it's actually simple. Simple for the simple. Complicated for the crooked. Prabhupada explained like that. We don't want to be lazy. Prabhupada didn't want devotees lazy. He wanted devotees to work hard, to be responsible. But at the same time, everything we do, we should be trying to do it for Krishna. And the only way we can have that consciousness is that whenever we meet, we discuss Krishna. We discuss subjects that are favorable to the awakening of our love for Krishna. We sing about Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. Whether we're tigers or deers. When I first came to New Vrindavan, actually about 7 months after I was here, I was put in the barn to milk cows. I started milking cows after a few days, but I was put in a barn to milk cows after some time with a particular person who I just thought, my God, if I was not a devotee, I would have nothing to do with a person like this. He's completely opposite nature. It was like a tiger and a deer. Of course, I thought I was the deer and he was the tiger. But it was just an impossible, I'm supposed to work with this person? God. just his mannerisms, his background, the way he talked, the way he walked. It was just everything that I was opposed to my whole life. And actually, he didn't like me either. Because whatever I'm saying about him, he was thinking about me, no doubt. But then what happened is we would go to the kirtan for Radha Vrindavan Chandra at Bahulaban, and we would dance and chant, and sometimes we would see each other. And then we just started milking cows together and cleaning the barn together and cleaning the temple together and doing gardening together. And then we started talking about Krishna together. We became best of friends, most intimate friends. We would embrace. We didn't kiss, but we embraced. It was like the tiger and the deer. And for the next 30 years, we were the best of friends. This is not just theoretical. It is reality. It is a science. It is a proven, thorough, absolute science. If you follow the process, you will absolutely get the result of love of God, unity. If we just come together, work hard for Krishna together, humble, trinarapi suniche natarorapi sahishna, be humble like the grass, tolerant like tree, offer respect to others, expect none in return, trying to be in that spirit, talk about Krishna, sing about Krishna, share Krishna. And when we create this atmosphere amongst each other, then people who are suffering in anxiety in this material world, looking for social relationships that are real, that are satisfying, that are not hypocritical, when they come to our community and see, wherever our community may be, it may be in our house, may be here, may be somewhere else, where if people come and see this, they will find refuge. They will find shelter from Kali Yuga. Haribo. Hare Krishna. That is our service to the world. That beautiful verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. King Prataparudra sang it to Lord Chaitanya. What is the verse? Tavakatam ritam tapta jivanam kavibiriditam kalmashapanam shravanamangalam srimaratatam. This verse explains that the pure topics of the transcendental pastimes, names, and forms of the Lord, by discussing the message of Krishna, it is like nectar and it flows from the mouths of his devotees. It brings them together in love and devotion. And that nectarine topic, which is like a river flowing from the mouths of the devotees, Hari Bol Mataji. Hari Hari. That flow of nectar, to distribute that to the world is the highest welfare work. And one who speaks about Krishna is the highest welfare worker. Hari Bol Mataji. No, put on. Hare Krishna. That's what Prabhupada has come to do, fulfill that verse. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that verse from Prataparudra Maharaj's, thank you, Mataji, from his mouth, he embraced him, said, "You are the most munificent. Whoever distributes the message of Krishna is the most munificent welfare worker in all of existence." Prabhupada was that. And he wanted us to assist him.
by giving the message of Krishna. That is the supreme service we can do in our life, to hear about Krishna and to speak about Krishna, and to enliven the devotees and the people in general to love Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.